Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Let us listen for God's word through the Holy Gospel according to John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So ends today's reading. Curiosity. That's all it seems at first. Curiosity. When Philip found Nathanael, he wasn't all that interested. Nothing good could come from a place like Nazareth. He did not expect the Messiah to come from such a place. It was a nothing. Isn't that the way it is? We make assumptions about places and people. I made such an assumption when I first met Chip. We were at a preaching workshop at Auburn Seminary in New York City. I'm not sure if I ever told him this story. There he was, clean cut, blonde back then, Texas accent. I thought for sure he was going to join the conservative wing of the presbytery. It did confuse me, I have to be honest, that he was at a conference led by the Reverend Dr. James Ford, then senior pastor at Riverside Church, but I had passed judgment and was on guard. but I was quickly put in my place. I can't remember now exactly what he said. It was probably close to 20 years ago, but I remember needing to eat my words. We make prejudgments, but God doesn't. Our sacred texts remind us over and over again that God sees not as we see. I will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy, God tells Moses. And God hears the cries of the poor and the discarded and raises up leaders like the poor, illiterate rabbi we as Christians call the Messiah from a nowhere place like Nazareth. Philip responded to Nathanael's ignorant statement with a challenge, come and see. This is how God calls us. There's no twisting of arms. There's a quiet voice urging us on, encouraging us to follow, to become curious, to heed the voice inside us that reminds us there is more, more to the life we are leading, more than the little gods we have created that we follow. To become curious. In a wonderful little book called Let Your Life Speak, Parker Palmer recalls his own attempts to hear God's voice. He had struggled for years with depression until he realized one day that discovering vocation did not mean scrambling toward some prize just beyond his reach, but accepting the treasure of the true self, the self with the capital S, he already possessed. He observed, the figure calling to me all those years was, I believe, what Thomas Merton calls true self. This is not the ego self that wants to inflate us or deflate us, another form of self-distortion. Not the intellectual self that wants to hover over above the mess of life in clear but ungrounded ideas. And not the ethical self that wants to live by some abstract moral code. It is the self planted in us by God, who made us in God's own image. The self that wants nothing more, nothing less than for us to be who we were created to be. True self is true friend, he wrote. One ignores or rejects such friendship only at one's peril. One ignores or rejects such friendship only at one's peril. God's call for us, God's dream for us, is to be who we were created to be. God's simple hope is for us to let go of all the judgments we make of ourselves. We are not good enough. We are not successful enough, wealthy enough, powerful enough, worthy enough. And the judgments we make of others, they are not good enough, successful enough, worthy enough, look like us enough. God's hope is for us to humble ourselves and accept God's acceptance of us. This is the simple good news of the gospel that Jesus taught and embodied. We are loved, and so is our neighbor just as we are. We are loved, and our call is to live as one who is loved. Because here's the paradox. When we live fully into our call to be our true selves, we no longer strive for individualistic gains. We no longer seek self-gratification. We are moved by this self-love grounded in God's love for us to love and care for our neighbor. We are moved as Jesus was to love others as ourselves, to create God's kingdom here on earth, where every human being is loved, honored, and valued. We live out this call no matter what we do career-wise. At the hospital, I have seen those who are washing floors carry out this call. When they enter rooms of people with COVID who have been isolated and cut off from their loved ones, and they linger a while they are washing that floor to offer a kind word of encouragement. I have seen doctors and nurses carry out this call with compassion and tear-filled eyes, they offer a word of comfort to a family member who has lost a loved one. It doesn't matter what we do. It's how we follow our call to love. My spiritual director is always saying, in the end, God will not ask us, what did you do? God will ask us, how well have you loved? As you know, and Chip said, this is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. His dream of a world united in God's love, celebrating diversity, is far from realized, especially today in our divided country. But we have made some progress. We have elected an African-American president, and we have elected the first biracial woman to be our next vice president, unthinkable in his day. Yet we do so with the threat of insurrection and violence from those heeding not the call of God, no matter what is written on their signs, but rather heeding the call of their own narcissistic fears and ego-driven desires. Because no matter what side of the political spectrum one falls, if the end is violence, hate, fear, exclusion of any particular group of people, you can rest assured God is nowhere to be found. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread, wrote the prophet Samuel. With all that is happening, the pandemic and political unrest, those words do seem as true now as it was then. Preacher Barbara Brown Taylor has reflected on our day and age. Silence has become God's final defense against idolatry, she says. But I'm not as pessimistic. I believe God is far from silent and is calling us, especially in the middle of the pandemic and all the social unrest. God is calling us, and God is with us, whispering. My late aunt would always speak softly, almost a whisper, whenever she spoke. I used to find it quite annoying, but then I realized how effective it was. I had to stop what I was doing and really listen if I was going to hear what she had to say. And so it is with God. We have to stop and really listen to what God is saying to us. As the late Thomas Keating once wrote, silence is God's first language. Everything else is a poor translation. In order to hear that language, we must first learn to be still and to rest in God. So this is the challenge. Can we stop and come and see where God is leading? Can we stop and take a breath, befriend the anxiety of the current age, and become curious. Stop and wonder, what is God asking of us during this pandemic and time of social unrest? And can we find new ways to love God, ourselves, and others, perhaps a little better than we did before? It is time for us to live as Samuel did and to wait and to listen as a people who expect to hear a word from the Lord and who expect to see a vision for who God desires us to become. For God is not done with us yet. And God is still calling us all the time. Come and see, God whispers. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. May it be so. Amen.